You're listening to a 9to5.cc podcast.
I think I fucking see my boss. It's a little dark animal. I think I fucking see my boss. Motherfucker, you see a little dog, an animal. It's a little motherfucker. I saw it.
Simpson made you drop acid.
How goes?
Very good.
Our guest today, as Walter's fucking slamming back that beer, he's like, I got a little bit drunk towards the end. We ordered these beers at the same time.
Mm-hmm. And he's first
fucking,
one?
And yeah, and they're looking at him. He's like, I'm going to get lit. Our guest today is the lovely and talented Plastic Patrick.
Bonjour.
Yeah, we do the podcast.
Is this going to be our first bilingual press? No, I don't mind.
No, but we totally, if you answer in French, it's a Montreal podcast, so mm-hmm. Fuck them if they don't understand, right?
I get busted out my best awkward East End French.
What part of town are you from originally?
I'm from the West.
Really?
Well, west of the island. I usually say West Island because I spent so much time in the West Island mm-hmm. with, you know, school and swimming and all of that. But I was born in Doria, mm-hmm.
which That's is like the first... way west.
Well, it's the first town off the island.
Yeah. It's West Island. When you take the train for the West Island, it's the Dorian Rigo train, right?
Yeah.
Okay. You're not showing up very good on the monitors. Microphone closer. There you go. You're so soft-spoken.
For now.
Yeah, no, but it was like, that was the plan, to get you drunk, but then you're like, water. So growing up in the West Island, I don't want to ask you your age, because that seems rude.
I'm 40.
Are you 40?
Yeah.
Holy shit. I knew you were in your late 30s.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, if you're not familiar with Patrick, he's in unbelievable shape. You're a marathon runner?
Yeah.
Like, still? Like, in that, how far is a full marathon?
42K.
42K. And, like, you did one recently-ish? Or, like...
Last one was in the fall.
That is fucked up.
Yeah, number 10.
Number 10?
In Chicago. 10th
marathon. Holy Christ. I can't even, like... I jogged to the bus and I'm...
I'm sure you have other talents.
Not really.
Drinking this pine actually took a lot out of me.
Yeah, I was gonna say. I drink a lot of beer. I actually started. I started working out when we met. I had probably about 15 pounds on what I have now, like extra,
mm-hmm.
like maybe 2-3 years ago, and that was where I started to feel fucking like unhealthy, like. I'd like just doing the quick jog up the stairs. I'd be like,
in the arena,
and I'm just sort of like, I'm like, what the fuck is wrong with me? I'm like, this is unacceptable. So then I started like working out and whatever. Because I always, as a kid, I was on the track team. I used to do the 100-yard dash and all that stuff. But that stopped in high school when I started doing a lot of drugs.
And yeah, like most people.
Yeah, exactly. That's it. I was just sort
or
of,
you know, just teenage years. Getting the best of you.
Yeah, that was the other thing too. Is I did a shit ton of speed and ecstasy and whatever. I used to at my peak, I was on like one or two hits of E a day, kind of just like that's
a
what
day.
A day.
That's
yeah.
a long rave.
It was because there was no ecstasy was for raves. The speed was just for functioning.
Ah, okay.
And that was coming up out of coming up in like high school, like grade 10, grade 11, where I was getting like $2 a pill and shit, and it was retarded. So, but I kept kind of floating on and off pills, like all the way up until like my mid 20s, when I was like, this is fucking kid stuff. I need to fucking
graduate to heroin.
Yeah, exactly. black tar heroin, right away. And I'm just sort of like, I needed to get off of it, and I turned to like booze and like instantly got fat. You know, it was just sort of like off the pills, like so because it's like the combination of you're on pills, which means you're not eating. You're on pills, it means you're dancing for fucking 20 hours a weekend.
Nonstop.
So it's like I was like right now I'm 160, 165. I was like 125 then. I was fucking like a skeleton. Like I was a fucking. I see pictures of myself and I was like that. I thought I looked fine, but I was not healthy. Like,
but most people. I still see some friends that are very skinny, and in the back of my head, I'm thinking, I think you're doing a lot of stuff, and sometimes you just sort of don't want to go there with people.
Yeah.
Because it is kind of a personal thing, and unless you're really close to this person.
Yeah.
Yeah, you sort of don't want to open that kind of worms.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because it's none of your business. Because it's, you know, they're doing it for their own reasons.
Or the other thing that's super awkward is if you fucking, you end up with a, say you have like a friend or whatever who was into hard drugs, and then you're like hanging out again, and then you start to see the like attributes that they used to exhibit when they were into hard drugs, then you're like, oh, this is a fucking conversation I don't want to have. You're like, oh, are you using again? And then you're like, am I an after-school special for asking that? You know, like, we got to talk. Are you using again? You know, it's fucking super awkward. I've had
that. It's a very personal thing.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and there aren't a lot of people that I feel comfortable having such a conversation with. Yeah, because, of course, you know, like every addict, they'll just deny. Then
I dated a girl who got back into meth while we were dating behind my back. And I was like, hey, you think I wouldn't notice? Like, I'm like, it's fucking, you're on crystal meth. You're like, you're out of your fucking mind right now. You can't, like, play that one off. It's not like, I'm a little bit high. You know, so I'm a little more quiet than usual. No, I'm tired. No, you're fucking, let's fucking clean the room and bake a cake and fucking, like, are you pumped? I don't want to go to sleep anymore. And you're like, whoa. You know, that's pretty bad. That, though, leads me into the obvious question. Not obvious.
This is a preamble.
Drugs, partying, whatever else.
I
like
want
that.
Really. What's so the obvious question be?
The obvious question is fucking Plastic Patrick was a mainstay in Montreal nightlife and still is, I think. And you definitely through the 90s and like the rave culture at the time and everything else like that. So, Walter's like.
So where's the question?
The question is, what was it like? What was
Jesus?
It's a fucking long preamble.
Yeah,
I mean. No, I mean, I've, like, in my research for this podcast, I found a fucking Montreal Mirror article, since you say you were 40, that it was when you were 26. So, 14 years ago?
Like, 96 or something?
96, yeah. And you had, like, short, dark hair in the photo. And you were talking about, you weren't talking about, the article mentioned you were a go-go dancer. Little bit. So, and I don't know. I have no idea what that scene at all was like. All I know is basically the movie Party Monster. Like, and that was in New York.
Yes. But it's funny you should mention Party Monster because that whole club kid scene is kind of really struck a chord for me.
Yeah.
In the early 90s because I was, you know, in Dorion.
Yeah.
Reading magazines like The Face and other, you know, British things that were talking about raves and just general house music and traveling to Montreal once in a while when I could borrow my mom's car. When I found this one magazine called Project X, which was written by Michael Alec and Judy Jules and the crew of Club Kids from New York, I thought, this is it. Like, I've discovered life.
That was like your inspiration? Was that like...
It was a big inspiration, yeah, because they, you know, they weren't drag queens, they weren't female impersonators, and they were into nightclubs, and dancing and music and of course later on I found out they were all major drug addicts and he ended up killing his dealer, but that
you know what else
at the time they had not escalated to, you know, such degrees of decadence.
Or at least it wasn't in public yet.
But the murder happened in 96.
Okay.
So this, you know, I'm talking
pre-murder.
Like
a different time.
91.
Back in the day you could get away with murdering your dealer. And then fucking by 96 it was just a whole other thing.
There was no dealer protection rights.
So was it that that scene and that vibe that got you into wanting to be into the nightlife? So this was the early 90s? I'm trying to place this in time.
91.
So, 91.
Was when I got my first club jobs.
Okay.
You know, go-go dancing on bars, getting paid $20 a night, and then I graduated to door person, and then
greeter and whatever.
Yes.
And, like,
greeter and, you know, manning the guest list and things like that. And then I started throwing parties.
Is that a normal thing or is it like a Montreal thing? The greeter. Like, I have only ever really partied in Montreal, so like.
No, it's from New York.
It's from New York? Okay, because it's like, was Montreal like always, well, not always, but I'm saying also always had the like the extremely like flamboyant, oftentimes, like definitely in, like you said, not necessarily a man pretending to be a woman, but like a man being fabulous kind
just
of thing, you know,
outrageousness,
like, yeah, exactly, yeah. Just a man being outrageous as a greeter. And I was, that's, it's a straight New, well, not straight New York thing, but Montreal, is it everywhere though?
I think the flamboyance is very Montreal, but the concept of the door person is that's New York.
It's not
can I call time? Can I call time here for a second? Because this is I'm so out of this scene, like so far. What exactly are we talking about here when we say a greeter?
It's like a Walmart greeter, but instead it's a fabulous person.
But this is someone that you would put at the door of a club to show, say, what kind of a club you, what kind of a party you want to have.
Right. Are we inside, outside the club?
Outside.
Okay.
Yeah, outside.
Or in like the into the vestiaire area, like before you're actually into the club, because we're in Montreal and it's cold. Oftentimes I've seen them.
Oh, no, it's outside.
I don't know. I've seen them inside.
He's telling you.
Okay,
it's
well,
outside.
Fuck! I've seen them inside. At SAT, they're inside
you're
always.
Yes. Clubs, Keith.
At SAT, they're always in that area. They're like they come in and out.
Yeah.
They'll
go. They may go in and out.
They
wander. I used to, you know, do the real thing and
there.
Put on
did it for
fabulous
real.
Fur coats and go outside.
There you go.
And then, typically, if you really want to do the New York thing, you would say. You can come in. You can come in. You can't come in. You can't come in.
Did you ever pull that?
You're on the guest list.
Were you able to get away with that? Like,
you know, I was always considered a sort of a nicer person.
Right. You're a little more diplomatic.
So I was quite diplomatic. I remember a few times trying to explain people why this wasn't a place for them.
You're like you're not coming in. But
sit them down for a second.
You really don't want to be. Like, just trust me on this. Like, I'm looking at the way you are, and you don't want to be in there.
And then you wanted to give certain privileges, hence quicker access to people that you really want in your club. You know, people with connections or whatever, performers, designers, scenesters, XYZ. So that was basically the.
I sort of had somebody
door person.
Right. I sort of had somebody lay that on me once, and I was in Ottawa of all places, the scene city, right? and I had gone there for like Blues Fest one night just to go see one band perform at the their Blues Fest, and I went with a buddy of mine. Right. We're both there in our like shorts on and t-shirts and like in a backpack, and we're gonna take the bus home like that night. And so it's like maybe it's like 1:30, round one. We're like, let's find a bar that's still open because Ottawa closes pretty early. And we're walking around. We're like, oh, there's a place upstairs over there that looks like it's still open. Let's go up there. And we go. So we walk up. And
was it Mavericks?
I don't know. I forget what the place
it's
was called.
Like the only club in Ottawa.
We go upstairs and we're trying to get in and the lady and there's like thumping music coming from inside. So I'm already, like, I don't know. I tend to avoid this, but like, whatever. I want to just go to school, have some drink somewhere. And then the lady at the door, she says, "You guys have ID?" I'm like, yeah, sure. And I thought it was weird that when she was carding us, but I'm like, yeah, sure, whatever. And like, we showed us her ID. And then she asks us like another question, like another like. And I'm like,
was it like a trivia question?
Yeah, or like just like or like you guys want to? You guys got to check your bags? And we're like, oh, okay, whatever. And then she's like, there seems like there's like an awkwardness. There's something that's not being said. She just, and then straight up, she's like, you know, this is like a gay and lesbian bar, right? And I was like, oh, no, didn't. No, that just went right the hell over our heads. Because we're just there, and that's what it brings to mind when you tell that anecdote.
Right.
It's like, sort of like, no, this is not the place you want to be going right now. You probably weren't like looking for this. So I now, thanks to your understanding, your explanation of the whole greeter concept, I think I have a better understanding.
You understand the idea? Well, because even like I used to party.
Do you party?
Do you party? And like there were occasionally like there were times where because I never like I always dressed like a raver, like the fat pants, whatever. But I always sort of went everywhere. But like I would go to Stereo like that, which wasn't really that normal, right? Like. Clubbers at Stereo didn't wear the raver clothes, I found, at the time. This is late 90s, early 2000s.
Yeah.
Like, they might have earlier, but, like, at the stage where I was going to After Hours and whatever, I would usually end up going to an After Hours if the rave, like, the warehouse rave I was at was shitty, you know, or, like, whatever.
Right.
So,
is it still in town?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, they came back into downtown now.
Yeah. Apparently they happen again. Like, some of my friends are like, yeah, I'm spinning this rave, whatever, and I was like, what? This was early, well, they're back now again, quote unquote, but this was 2001, 2002, where I was, like, raving the most, and it was, there was, like, Renegade Legion who used to throw parties. Who the fuck else was there? There was...
But this is after all the raves were pushed out of Montreal, right?
The first time. This is after they were pushed out the first time.
Because I used to live on the corner of Saint-Urbain and Milton.
Okay.
And all the buses for the raves used to leave from Milton Clark.
Yeah, yeah.
So I would see them from my balcony, and for a good period of like 5 years at least...
That was probably
there were buses every Saturday night going to Terrebonne or Laval or Saint-Jérôme or school buses.
Yeah, they had shuttle buses.
They were school
buses. And it was like, and you'd have, they oftentimes they would set up like a 1-800 number that you would like call, and it would only be active for the 24 hours beforehand. Yeah. So like...
Did you book a seat on the bus? Or?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You need to book a seat. Like it was extra. Like it'd be like, say it was like $20 for your ticket, it'd be $25 for the bus ride or whatever.
Yeah, this was pre-Facebook.
Right? Yeah,
imagine.
Yeah.
There was a world before Facebook.
And there's one thing raves are good at, it's organization, apparently.
Like. You'd be amazed. No, but this was when they started coming back into the city.
When they
where
were
there was,
back into downtown, yeah.
Were they like formally banned?
I don't know if they were formally banned.
They were pushed out of the city.
Well, the first rave that I remember was Solstice in... it was I think it was at an old television studio near Habitat 67.
Okay.
No,
the habitat.
Yeah.
It was right near there.
Right.
It was a Panavision studio something, and it was very big, and Tiga was spinning, and that's where the first one was. I think number two was at where La Grande Bibliothèque is now, which was it was like a skate park.
Yep.
Before that, it was Taz.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, the original Taz.
It was there, and that was shut down by the police. There was riots. I remember, you know, running out and fucking stacked shoes. And don't hurt me, I can't run.
I'm trying to remember where the venues... There was a venue by, like, at that time, like Jean Talon, Saint-Michel Metro. There was a venue, and it was like this. It was like an art space, but then they also had like a two level and the roof.
See, already at that point, they were getting away from downtown.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But then
it gradually got further and further, and that's when the yellow buses came in to take all the ravers to Terrebonne.
Then they came back. There was some in the like near St. Henry Point, St. Charles, in like the industrial section.
Okay,
they started having, and that's pretty close. It's not like it's not in downtown.
It's cab right away.
That's. Exactly. You get off at a metro and you can either walk for 20 minutes or just quick cab. Then they had some at Gravity. If you remember Gravity.
Gravity.
The place underneath Dome. The weird underground section.
On the corner of Sainte-Catherine and
Saint-Laurent? Yeah. There was
that had many names.
Yeah. But I'm saying, but they used to have raves at Gravity.
Okay.
Like, where they were
smack downtown.
Yeah, and that was awesome when they had those. But... where was I going with this? Yeah, raves are awesome. They were a lot of fun. Anyway, so dressed up as like whatever, and like, and every now and then, like they would be like, they'd kind of give me like a like look up and down because I'm like dressed like a raver.
At Stereo.
And whatever. And like usually it was fine because there was like an understanding that I at least understood like a part of the culture, maybe not the exact culture that was happening at Stereo at the time. But they were like, okay, this kid is. Clearly into, like, getting fucked up and dancing, you know, like... So
well, I think any type of outrageousness sort of converged together.
The only time, I can't remember where it was, the only time where I ever... And it wasn't like I got turned away. It was just like the greeter, like, just came in, was just sort of like, by the way, it's a fetish night. And was like, I was like... you know, because it was just sort of like usually there'd be like a small pause because I wasn't necessarily dressed for that, but like dressed like, except like it's a little outrageous, and it was just sort of like this fucking candy kid fucking raver style is coming in. They're just sort of like, it's a fetish night, and I was like, oh, okay, like thanks for telling me, like I'll still go, it's fine. But it was like, that was the one time where I had a slight like a little like pull aside, and you're like, it's a fetish night, like are you still. You still want to
just so you know.
Yeah, exactly. Just so you know, it's like it's gonna be dancing. There's gonna be fun, but there's also gonna be some.
Yeah, usually you have to be dressed in fetish gear.
Yeah.
Well, I guess because Stereo is so.
Yeah. It was
that they broadened it.
Most of the clothing that I wore was black raver stuff. So you had like black stuff with like black straps and like I'd wear like a tight black shirt with like a white tie or whatever. Like yes. It didn't necessarily look like fetish, but I never fun fur, no bright colors, no, like, I was always like,
oh really?
Yeah, yeah.
You didn't wear the big orange fur pants?
No, I wore big, like, I have multiple, like, fat pants that were fucking huge, but they were black. Like,
okay.
That was because...
Okay, you were like a goth raver.
Not a goth raver. I was, whoa. No, for that it was, in high school, I discovered raves because of drugs. Like, it was, like, straight up.
Mm-hmm.
I was into, like, punk rock and stuff before. And then I was, like, a really, like, hyperactive little teenager. And drug dealers, literally, like, my first few times on speed were the dealers in high school who just thought it would be funny. Because they were, like, I was in maybe, like, grade 9. And they were, like, hey, you're hilarious. Like, try some speed. You know, and I was like,
"You're hyper. Let's make you even more
exactly."
Hyper.
And I was like, "And that's a totally like a dancing monkey thing, you know? Like just like let's make the hyper kid go fucking crazy and like yay." So and I like fucking like loved it, and then that all tied in with like background Keith story. I have a pretty bad attention deficit disorder, and I used to do a lot of things where I would like kind of like imagine life was more interesting than it really was,
mm-hmm.
and. Then they were like, yo, there's this party, it's all night, like, fucking come if you want, and blah, 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 blah. So I was like, my first party ever, I was, like, guest listed, so I was like, yay. And, like, guest listed and free drugs, and so I was like, this is fucking gonna be awesome. So I got there, and I didn't immediately like the music, because I was just listening to, like, punk at the time. But I immediately liked the fucking, like, the vibe, and the atmosphere, and the visual, and the lights, and everybody being dressed up. Like, not just, like, dressed fancy, like you said, like, dressed outrageous. Like,
yeah.
Like, borderline costume, you know? Like...
Yeah, because it was meant to be, I think, kind of a fantasy world. I think that's what nightclubs were.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. This is,
up
this
until
was...
a certain time when,
yeah, yeah.
You know,
douchebags
nightclubs
took
looked like the OC or Laguna
yeah,
Beach.
That still fucks me up. I went to... one of my friends is the promoter of Rewire. I don't know if you ever... It's always around Easter. It's like it's an under... It's, so you listen to more like the house music. Like the raves I went to were more like
techno.
Hardcore, happy hardcore, trance, psy trance. Like.
Well, no wonder. That's so close to punk.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like an overload of electronic beats instead of guitar riffs.
Yeah, exactly. But it's like it's as hard and as fast, right?
Yeah.
So yeah, my friend used to organize Rewire. Or he still does, I think. And the last one I went to was like 2 years ago, and this is when I knew I was not ready to fucking party anymore. It was, first of all, even though I was high, I wasn't high enough to like forget about shit, and was just like, I was more worried. I'm like, that girl looks 16 and she needs help, and there's a skeezy guy talking to her, and fucking, you know, it was like her parents don't know she's here, you know, and I was like, and on top of that too, the
Keith ever the conscientious junkie.
Exactly. But and that was the thing too, is that I was like, all these kids were like, oh, I dressed up because I wore a bright yellow shirt. You know, and you're like, what the fuck? Like even at and that was like a hardcore psytrance, whatever rave, there was nothing, there was like some kids who still did it, but I don't know, you still are like pretty active in the Montreal nightlife, whatever. Is there anything like that anymore? Like anybody who dresses up or...
Well, I think other than... There are. It's definitely... I think going out to nightclub is definitely not as much of a celebration as it was.
Okay.
You know, before it was like going to the carnival.
Yeah,
going
yeah.
Going to this
yeah.
nightclub and it's going to be amazing and I'm going to wear this and we're going to do this and then see these people and, you know...
Yeah, 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 yeah.
And hear this type of music and these artists and...
Yeah.
But now it seems like you just kind of show up. You know, if you're having your party and it looks like a restaurant, then I think it's just that the focus is different.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's not
is it
it's
sad?
Not so much going to a different world and having an overload of sound and light and wearing the most interesting outfit that you can think of. It's more like just
hanging out.
Yeah.
Sorry. Once again, while they're just sitting there and just like listening.
It's not my fault this time though. Like
you're just like I have no point.
I have nothing to add to this. Like,
no, but I think that's a little depressing. Like,
well, I try not to be the person that says, you know, back in the day it was so much better.
Right.
But
it was. Not just.
Well.
I think it's too bad yeah.
for clubbers.
I don't think people
young
aren't having
clubbers
fun.
Of today
yeah.
that you're kind of always forced into reality, even
right.
though you're going to a nightclub, because the only choices that you have are nightclubs that
look
like restaurants.
Would you say hipsters ruined it?
Meh.
Because that was one of the things that like one of the things that I noticed was that the hipsters and their like ironic coolness prevented them from being like from fully giving themselves to the like fucking carnival atmosphere. Because they're like, oh, I'm a little bit
too... Oh, you're talking about irony.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like, ironic hipsters. Like, that's... Like, you know what I'm saying? Where it's
like,
just
like... I
oh.
like Batman, not because it's that great, but just because, you know, I like Batman.
Yeah, you know, like, but was Batman...
Don't
so,
you get it?
Yeah, and you're like... you're like, I don't actually laugh at Batman. I'm laughing at Batman. You know? Uh-huh. You're like, what?
We're laughing
yeah.
with Batman.
Well, some days you just can't get rid of a bomb. Walter.
Like, can I ask an obvious question? That you probably dealt with a lot. I'm sorry, were you still in the middle of a point?
I'm fucking Batman.
Okay.
Well, I was trying to bring it to your fucking area.
It's okay, I'm sure we would have gotten there eventually. the name. Why, like, where did the name come from?
Plastic Patrick?
Yeah.
Oh, Patrick is my real birth name.
Well, I figured that.
You spell it with a, you dropped the C.
I dropped the C.
There you
so
go.
Just
in both.
Yeah, I can't
in
spell
both.
So, yeah.
That's right. Plastic with no C,
and
Patrick
sure.
no C.
I was working at nightclubs, and I wanted to make a name for myself as a, you know, promoter, performer, XYZ, in the nightclubs, and I needed a cool stage name. And I wanted to keep the Patrick,
right.
because I didn't want to, I didn't feel like one of those drag queens that would just, you know, pick a sort of a cool, you know, pun intended name, like
right.
a Shawana Millionaire or something. And, so I said, you know, I'm going to keep Patrick, and I'm going to tag on a word to it. And I was dancing one night, and I happened to be dancing to a song named Plastic Dreams.
Okay.
And I thought, plastic is starts with a P, and it's kind of kitschy and futuristic,
right.
and they both end in an ick, and it's perfect.
All right.
And Plastic Patrick was born.
All right.
Yeah, yeah.
That's good. It's very – it is, and it, you know – should be told it is very memorable.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's. I think
thank you.
You
if someone didn't
moniker.
Know you had the moniker and you were like, Patrick sent me, it still, you know, holds. Right? Like, because you kept your real name. You know, like if
yeah.
I was like, if you were like, oh, come to this thing, and I didn't necessarily know the moniker, and I was like, yeah, Patrick told me it'd be cool. Like, I think, at least at this stage, people would be like, they would know the Patrick I was talking about. If you were involved in the event, obviously.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's like, you don't need to necessarily remember the full moniker if you know your real name. And if obviously you
mm-hmm.
know the fucking moniker, then you're Plastic Patrick. That's fucking... That works. How
yeah.
long ago did you take it? Like...
Early 90s.
Early 90s? So
yeah.
like very early on?
Yeah.
Sort of thing?
Yeah, there was a guy in New York who was very active. Actually, was also involved in that whole murder thing called
okay.
James St. James.
Yeah. Well, it's Seth Green in the movie, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I thought it was really cool that he kept his real... I mean, I don't know whether or not his real name is James, but I'm assuming... And I thought it was cool that he was
hopefully
sort of
either his first or last name.
Yeah.
Somewhere James was hopefully in there.
He just grabbed
otherwise
it. Otherwise, we grabbed it out of nowhere. Drugs were taking a hold.
Yeah.
Like, what about James, guys? Well, Philip. <And you're> like, like, shit.
Yeah, but Philip St. Philip just doesn't have the same ring, right?
Philip St. Philip? I don't know. It could work. Phil St. Phil?
And they would all sort of gravitate between... You know, the male and female, the whole androgyny thing,
mm-hmm.
which I thought was very nice because I didn't know why and or where that rule came from that boys can't wear skirts and that, you know, boys can't wear nice makeup and nicer shoes. And so I thought, you know, fuck it. This is just what I want to do. I want to wear that.
Because that's the other thing, though, is that I mean, I presume... I've only ever really seen you at Roller Derby, which you announce.
Mm.
You're the head announcer this year.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. And I presume your outfits, your costumes, whatever, are similar to what you wear at Roller Derby most of the time, right? When you're out?
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's like that's a good sampling of what...
Yeah.
I mean, I've seen, I don't know, at least probably what now, 30, 40 outfits on you.
Uh-huh.
Not more. And like at no time do you ever look like you're, like you said, trying to be a woman. Like, oftentimes you'll have, like, your entire chest is exposed, where you're like, that's clearly not a woman.
Yeah.
It's just to, like...
Honest to God, the first time I thought you, I saw you, I just thought you were flat-chested.
It's a joke.
But I've gotten that before. Once there was a... I think it was a visiting referee or something who looked at me, and I was wearing a dress that came up to, you know, about here, just below my pecs.
Right.
And he looked at me, and his first words were, "Oh my God!" And I thought, you know, it's I'm in my home. What's the matter with you? And he said, "I thought you were a woman that was exposing your chest." I thought, wow, I'd hate to be your girlfriend.
Have you, like, again? This you can. You don't have to name names. You don't even have to answer this. Have you ever made out with a guy who thought you were a woman? Or are you? Or would you stop it? Would you be like, no, dude, seriously? Like,
I usually assume that they know.
Okay.
Yeah.
But I'm like, if someone's like shit-faced and
it's
high...
It's funny you should ask me that, because about a week ago, I was just in some backstage somewhere, and somebody said, oh, we used to go to Sapphire, and there was a friend of mine who was so enamored with you, and we had a feeling that he didn't know you were a man. And then he went up and met you, and you made out with him. And then I think I remembered who they meant, but I wasn't sure. And then I thought, you mean that we made out, and then he didn't know? And I said, well, we told him afterwards.
Like the best friends in the world.
Yeah. And I said, yes, but now he has a much broader view on the world. Wow.
Like, there you go.
I've served my purpose. Or there was one girl once. This was really funny. I was DJing at W.
Okay.
And she came up to me and she said, you know, there really aren't that many female DJs, so you go, sister.
Really?
And then she walked away.
And you were like,
okay, sure.
Yeah. You know, I love to represent, but didn't.
Yeah.
Now, because I was not involved with the scene that you guys discussed.
Either version. Yeah. We were on different sides of the... He was house music.
Right. Okay, well, I'm sorry. Right. And I'll just play along here. But because I first got to know you, became familiar with you via the...
Intimate with him?
No. via the Rocky Horror shows, via the Rocky Horror live shows, and how long you've been involved with those? Just for the sake of clarity, this is the Rocky Horror live experience where they show the movie and there's the actors and all that stuff.
Yeah.
And you frequently act as MC of ceremonies.
I host the costume contest because it's the Halloween event.
Yeah. It's a Halloween event. So when did you get started with that?
The first time that I was involved with them was when I was in a band called 1976.
Right.
And they asked us to play a short set before the movie.
Okay.
And then the following year, we didn't play, but they asked me to host the costume contest, and that was about 2001.
Okay.
So 10, 11 years.
And you do a great job. Like, it's always a highlight of my Halloween weekend.
I love it.
I have to say, you do a spectacular job, I think. It's not the same without you, and I was told a couple years ago you weren't at one of them, but I was at the one that you were at, so I think so. And it's always, I always have a great time.
And, it's terrific. I love the fact that it's not necessarily a serious costume contest, and that people
it's basically who could go up there and do like the most obscene stage act,
pretty
much. Drop of a hat, yeah.
Pretty much, and you know, people kind of take it not so. I mean, the prizes are not very big, so you don't go up there and you don't win $1,000. So
more the title, I think.
Yeah, it's just, you know, getting up on stage and acting silly. But you know what did really change the dynamics of that contest is Facebook and digital cameras.
Right.
Because right up until, I would say, 2005 or 2006, there was nudity in every contest.
Really?
It was pretty much an excuse for people to get on stage and get naked.
That might even tie into what we were saying about people not being so outrageous, right?
Of course.
Because it's like you're like, hey, you know what? I'm going to fucking put on fairy wings and fucking spike my hair and whatever else like that and paint it pink.
Yeah,
seriously. And you know what? And if I can get away with that and it's the one night and only the people who are there, like, I might I might do it. But yeah. You're like, but now you're like, nope, someone's going to snap.
So you think people are holding back because of social media? Oh,
I think so.
There's a clear difference from, say, the past 2 years and, say, 2002. I would say...
I'd almost say the
boobs at every single show that we did, you know, then there's about six a year, six per Halloween.
Right.
And maybe one or two naked people last year.
Right.
Like there's clear difference. People are not as brave as they were.
If you've been going for 3-4 years, and I've noticed myself, like the first or second year I went, there was a lot more out there.
I would even take it
farther and apply it to everything. Where it's like people, like it was like that famous Chris Chelios when he played for the Montreal Canadiens, supposedly had an underage girl in his car and smashed into a fucking lamppost and like fucking wrecked his porch or whatever else like that. The cops were like, Chelios, what are you doing? And he was like, oh man, I'm wasted. Girl was like 16, fucking like signed some autographs for the cops, paid everybody involved.
The girl or Chris Chelios?
No, Chris Chelios. Nobody was hurt, but like he still like drunkenly smashed his car into a post with a fucking like 16-year-old girl in the passenger seat. Nobody was hurt. Just paid people off, gave some autographs, walked away. Like never even hit La Presse.
That's
the
least insane story.
Yeah, you know that would have been all over.
No.
Twitter, like in
yeah, exactly. It would be on Twitter. There'd be photos. There'd be everything. Yeah. So it's like, oh, whatever. And I think that pulls over. Like if we got Walter, say. Really drunk, and then we maybe were like, I know that if you're drunk, you'd be down, like, be like, hey, Walter, let's pop an E. You'd be like, I'm in. And then we'd be like, Walter, let's fucking put you in some lipstick. And you'd be like, all right. But you'd be less likely to do that if you knew someone had a camera.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But exactly. But if we were just like hanging out, we'd be like, whatevs.
Yeah, because we're just in the moment.
Yeah,
but
exactly.
Now it's not a moment anymore.
Because it's going to be on
a picture
Facebook.
That's, you know, like, following you forever.
Multiple people that I know now have, Facebook aliases, like they have two different Facebooks.
Yep. Yeah.
Where they have like their Facebook under their alias, like a fake name, like whatever, and then they have the real Facebook because they know that their prospective employers, they know whatever else like that, are gonna fucking Facebook them. So they're like, they just keep one.
Yeah.
Like I'm tagged as so and so on this one, and then if my friends tag me on their party one, they tag me as something else.
Doesn't that suck?
It's
something that we thought would be so cool that we could just get in touch with each other so quickly, and it's
you're like now we're worried.
Totally poisoned our fun.
can we make like a leap in logic here? I think what we're all getting at
is we're going
is
to the moon
that Facebook
next year.
And social media in general is a tool of the neoconservative agenda.
Yes,
I think we could. I think this is what
Mark,
we're getting at.
Mark Zuckerberg is in bed with like the Republicans and Stephen Harper.
Yeah.
They wouldn't do that.
No, they
wouldn't. Keeping their clothes on.
No, I mean, in bed.
Facebook was
bankrolled
by Halliburton.
But I'm saying in bed is like three separate beds, and it's like an Isle of Lucy kind of like.
Gotcha.
They all go to bed in the same room, but they're in different beds.
All the information from Facebook is filtered right to the Pentagon.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
That shit. My uncle
works for the Pentagon.
Works for the CBC, and he was saying
close
every
enough.
Time there's a news item about anyone ever, he's like, our first thing is Facebook now. Like, who is this person? Who are their friends? That's where they get interviews. They can get people like so-and-so as soon as there's a coronary report and there's a name released.
What kind of report?
Coroner's report. Coroner's report. Like, as soon as, like, a name is released, they can be, like, best friends with so-and-so, in a relationship with so-and-so, and the news people can, like, get in touch with those people.
It is private message them.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like, they're just fucking terrifying.
And it'll
like,
go and it'll go to their phone. They'll get it right away.
Your boyfriend died. Want an interview? What the fuck?
Yeah.
You know, like, oh my god, that terrifies me. So,
imagine
yeah,
how
no,
much
I think,
crap
I think
they
that,
have to comb through, though.
Yeah,
like, all these people talking about cleaning their houses and
the
useless pictures of their cats.
Have you seen the meme, Annoying Facebook Girl?
The mean, annoying Facebook
you know,
Girl?
You
no, the meme.
Meme. You know, like, you know on internet where it's like the same picture and people change the captions and stuff?
Okay.
Anyway, there's a meme like it's a girl on Facebook, and it's just like her annoying Facebook status updates. Like when she's single, they're like, "All I need is my girls." Like when she's in a relationship, fuck the girls. All I need is my man.
Yeah.
You know, like all those like, "Oh, working out feels so good." I'm like, I don't give a shit if you're working out. I'm sorry. Like
well,
that's cool. Good for you.
It's usually
you know,
why I don't read the newsfeed.
I hate them. I unfollow. Like. You can modify the status, right? Like, you can, like, don't get updates. I do that. I'm like, if you update funny shit or like shit about events or like actually
or ask a question
or ask a question. Does anybody, you know, like,
you know,
like
why that? Write about I love coffee in the morning.
That's what Twitter's for.
Gearing up for the week. Gearing up for the weekend.
Yeah, exactly. Who's happy it's Friday? Fuck you is what the answer is. Like I often oftentimes it's like when I'm bored it's like an exercise not to just like just start. Nobody cares that you're working out, you know, like, you know, it's shitty. Like I don't want to make you feel bad for working out, but I don't care, you know, like maybe
yeah, why is that newsworthy?
Yeah, exactly. Maybe I'll comment on it when I saw it, when I see you and being like, yeah. Oh, you look good, but yeah. I don't give a shit how fucking many repetitions you did at the gym.
Right.
Although I know I'm issuing to Walter because he's a gym rat.
Right. Clearly. Thank you, Keith. Now you had an album that came out like
he's had a few.
A year and a half ago, 2 years ago, like that was the most. And it was
that was particularly
Brit, right? Was that exclusive? That was exclusively French language.
Yeah.
No English tracks on that.
No.
Okay. And how long? Is that still like an active ensemble?
Well, the band never really dismantled per se. Well, I'm the band.
Let's say moi.
It was my project. Right. It was my project that I built from ground up, and then I got the band when I decided that we would play shows.
Okay. Right.
So,
but it was a pretty big deal because there was advertisements like everywhere for that. Like mm-hmm. You walk around downtown, and there was like the posters were plastered everywhere.
Oh, yeah, they did a nice job. Yeah. I was with Spectra.
Yeah.
We put out one record. And then when the cycle was over, I probably early 2011, December 2011 is the last show.
Okay.
We did. And no, sorry, 2010.
It's like a year and a half.
2010, a year and a half ago. The record company sort of, you know, they were so much in contact, and I was thinking, okay, this is record company.
We're not saying
business.
Goodbye, but we're saying goodbye.
Yeah, kind of. And I heard from my manager that who, you know, is obviously close to them that they didn't want to do another record because this record had done all right. We did all right, but not enough to grant another record. And I thought, casualty of the record business. And
right.
I have a. Do you? This is something I don't know. And if, whatever. Do you have a day job or are you are you Plastic Patrick? Like, and you just make your money off of like judging DJ competitions, DJing, hosting, like, or do you, like, is that enough to sustain yourself at this point?
Not all of it, but most of it.
Most of it? Okay, yeah. So you basically don't have a day job.
I do, but part-time.
Part-time? All right, that's cool. Yeah. How soon in your career was it enough to support yourself?
I think starting at Sapphire.
It's okay.
Yeah, so early 2000s.
Early 2000s. So it was like, so for like a decade, you were like hustling and promoting and greeting and dancing and fucking doing everything and still having to like, oh fuck, it's 9 a.m., like bam, 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 like wake up out of bed.
I was working at Mac.
Okay.
So I was sort of very, you know, closely tied to what I was doing.
Computers or cosmetics?
Cosmetics.
Right. It's always cosmetics.
It's always cosmetics. Girl's like, I want a brand new Mac.
Yeah.
It's always cosmetics.
Yeah. Actually, throughout that time, I was kind of doing both. I was doing fairly well with the nightclubs.
And, right.
And I don't think... I wasn't even DJing yet.
All right.
And it was mostly the performing and the greeting and the party promoting.
Right.
And I was working full-time at Mac.
How did you promote... Sorry, like... Like, I always, like...
Pre-Facebook?
Pre-Facebook. No, because I always, like, when I was partying, and again, it was a different scene. Like, it was, like, a different, like, hardcore and all that stuff. It was always, like, you got promoted to at other parties, and there was, like, flyers.
That's exactly it.
It was just like...
If you wanted to promote, you had to be out all the time.
Yeah.
It's like the scene was more closely knit,
yeah.
And there were club events every night of the week.
Yeah.
So, you know, Tuesday night you would go to this club, Wednesday there, Thursday there, you know, and you would just go out every night.
And you'd have, like, the circuit.
Exactly, and you would promote your event, which was probably one of those nights. Say,
yeah.
I, for a while, I don't know why, but I did Thursday nights at various clubs.
Right.
So I would go out on the weekend and early in the week, and just by me being there,
people would
be reminded of the event that I did every Thursday.
Yeah.
And they would just sort of come.
Yeah, I remember I never formally promoted because I never wanted to put the legwork in.
Mm.
But, like, there were a few times where, like, because friends of mine had promotion things and through parties and whatever else like that, and they would be like, here's a stack of flyers and whatever else like that. And, like, and it was just kind of, like, you, like, the only reason people want to come, like they need to think that you're cool to go to your party.
Yeah.
You know, where it's just sort of like, if there's, like, a douchebag handing out flyers, you're like, I'm not going to go to this
because
that guy was an asshole. But if you're like, oh, that guy was awesome, and he's endorsing a party, you know, and it's like...
Yeah,
so
it was very organic.
Yeah, in the sense
that it was, you know, sort of a one-on-one promotion.
Now it's Facebook. Invite friends.
Facebook ruined everything.
I fucking sent 300 flyers.
You almost can't fucking promote an event anymore because of fucking Facebook, right? Because everybody's promoting a goddamn event.
I hate them.
Nobody cares.
Well, when you do have,
like, a legitimately cool event that you want to promote, it's really hard
declined.
To make that stand out.
Maybe
amongst, like, the sea shitty events.
Yeah, I
think that's that. You can apply that to the internet, and say internet and the music business, which was before the internet. The music business had to rely on record labels,
right.
Who would, for the better part of the record labels' lives, would select artists that they legitimately thought were, you know,
good.
Worthy of
yeah.
attention, and then they would work on developing them and developing their skills and developing
their
shows, and then they would send them on the road and promote them through magazine,
television,
whatever.
I think it does. I think it works both ways, right? Like, as much as the internet has given us access to, like, more music than we've ever had, it's also given us access to more shitty music than we've ever
had.
Like,
there's just too much.
You know, it's
and
just sort of like me and Walter got together. I had the washboard, Walter had the kazoo. We have a 12-song full length that's coming out. you know, and it's like, No, you guys, that's cool if you do that in your basement, but don't. That's not what. Why are you sending that to everyone on Facebook? You know, like, or whatever the fucking case may be. And it's like, it's fucking. So, yeah, I think it's a little bit like that with parties, with events, like with everything, is that everybody has a huge audience now.
Yeah.
Basically. And I mean, don't.
It's sort of weird.
Like this podcast. Keep listening to this podcast.
Right.
That's
except for this, yeah. But it's what I find strange now is kind of cutting weird that it's gotten like there's so much overexposure for everything on Facebook and the internet that it's almost gotten to the point now where the conventional means of promoting something, like word of mouth and stuff like that, have gotten back to being more effective. From what I've noticed, I ignore stuff
on Facebook routinely
because you're not going to Facebook anymore because
so
you have to
like
swim through the shit
works
and
like you know like
yeah.
and just like just getting the word out like conventionally.
Yeah. It's so funny because I promoting this season of roller derby.
Right.
I actually printed some press documents
that I
went to you know newspapers and TV stations and handed them a press kit. And a lot of them were surprised.
Well, that's one of the reasons. Like, I wanna print flyers for the show, and it's like because I want to be able to be like, here's a paper thing. I'm gonna do it. Why are you shaking your fucking head?
Never mind.
Why?
Never mind.
What?
It's never mind.
No, you tell me now.
I won't. Go on.
Fuck off.
Anyway.
No, I'm upset at you now.
It's
we're
you're,
breaking
why
up.
You're all right, fine. Be like that.
No, but why? No, go tell me.
It's really no.
What? No, what?
So,
fuck off.
I'm shaking my head at your
my ambition.
Yes, your pretentious ambition
to hand a person a flyer.
Yes, a little bit.
You're an asshole.
No, I'm not actually.
I'm not gonna do it then.
All right.
I was gonna put your face on them. You'd have a thing. On
well,
your face.
Now
fuck
I'm interested
off.
Again. You're making the guests feel uncomfortable.
No.
I'm entertained.
There you go. We have a new thing that we want to do towards the end of the show.
Mm-hmm.
Before we do that, is there anything?
It's not going to feel forced at all, I promise.
It's not going to feel... No, it's supposed to feel... Fuck off. No, it's supposed to feel a little forced. It's just a way to wrap up the show. It's going to be like... we're going to ask you like three questions, then we're going to ask you a question from the previous guest, and then you're going to ask the next guest in the future without knowing who the guest is a question. that makes sense.
One more time.
All right. No, I'm going to explain it later. Before we do that.
Literally say it and you're going to record it? Or?
Well, you're going to ask the question. I'm going to keep a note of it. And then on our next guest, I'm going to ask that person. Okay. Before that, though, is there anything that you really want to plug?
Like, that's what the show's called. The actual show. I forget that sometimes. Because the show is called Go Plug Yourself.
Uh-huh. Is there anything that you want?
It's always nice if the guest has something that they'd like to promote. Speaking of promotion, if you have something coming up that you'd like to put out there.
My biggest thing now is the roller derby season.
Okay.
Because I've taken on the role of PR person for the league.
Yeah.
Which has been truly fun because, like I said, of going to those TV stations and sportscasters and discussing the Alouettes and the impact as opposed to discussing the, the latest new band. So that's been a really interesting challenge. But we have 6 events to go. And you can find out about them at MTLRD, MTLRollerDerby.com.
Okie dokie.
Yep. Link to that. That's a big thing?
It's my main gig.
It's your big gig.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's good. All right, so we're on to the question.
I like that. It's a good event, yeah.
It's going to be the theme song. It's going to be questions.
Question time with the guests. Now you go plug yourself.
Not going to make a better theme song than that.
That's it.
Okay. First question is... what was your favorite toy when you were a kid? Like, stuffed animal, board game, whatever.
Don't limit it. What was your favorite toy?
Okay, no. Whatever it was, your favorite toy. Like, your favorite thing that you
favorite
had.
Favorite toy.
I was going to say thing you had fun with, and then I was like, nope.
You're taking the child aspect out of it now.
No, as a child, it's important.
I'm going to say Barbie because I wasn't allowed to play with them.
So it was like...
Did you have siblings, or did you have like...
No, I had a brother. I have a brother.
Right.
Who was substantially older.
Okay.
And so I didn't really get any of his toys.
Uh-huh.
But...
how did you get to the Barbies, though?
Yeah.
Well, once because I was younger and I was not an only child, but my brother's substantially older, I would go with my parents to, when they had... When they would visit some of their friends and have dinner at their places and... And there was this couple that they went to have dinner with that had daughters that were maybe 5 years older than me. And they had Barbie dolls that they no longer played with. And then I sort of got my hands on them and started playing with them. And, and then I brought them home. And then my dad was sort of not very happy about that. So Barbie was taken away from me.
Oh.
And then so then I would play with Barbie anytime I could, but... Which was never at my house.
Right.
So I think the fact that it was Fabulous Barbie and the fact that it was forbidden made it for a hot commodity.
Right.
And he cut the doll's hair short, and then you were like, it's plastic patch.
No, I would never dare cut their hair.
Oh. They had such good stylists. You were like... You look like you were about to say something.
I wasn't. I had no.
Okay.
No.
All right. Question number 2. The most fun you've ever had?
Oh, singing with Cyndi Lauper.
So you sang with Cyndi Lauper?
Yeah.
Okay, and that's like hands down. I was like, maybe I'll ask if there's something else, and I'm like,
No, we just got to ask how the hell that happened.
How did that happen?
2002 or 3.
Okay.
She just released an album, a jazz album, and she, she's touring. She's coming to play in Montreal. And I was still with 1976. We were kind of winding down. And as a matter of fact, we just sort of called it off. And I just said, I'm going to do my own project, which later became Patrick et les Brutes. But Richard Burnett, for The Hour, interviewed her. And then he told her there's a band called 1976 that covers Shebop, which did.
Right.
And then she said, oh, really? Do you think they would come and perform at the Encore for the show? So then he calls
that's
me.
That's super cool of her.
That's why the way she said that she would just throw that out there.
Yeah. Just,
what? Well, someone's covering my song.
Let's play the Encore. Yeah.
So he calls me, and then, we sort of arranged it. And, of course, I called back the band, saying, I know that we kind of just broke up, but... Do you want to sing with Cyndi Lauper?
Band's back together.
Exactly.
Band's back on, guys. Cyndi Lauper.
In a heartbeat. And then we went to... Actually, I called her. Ritz. I called Cyndi Lauper at the Ritz. Nice. And I spoke to her on the phone, and the minute she got on, she had that Brooklyn accent that, you know, just cuts through the phone line. I knew immediately it was her because she sounds like a Muppet. And and it was, we went to the sound check. She asked me during the phone conversation if we knew La Vie en Rose, the Edith Piaf song,
because
She did it in on the record, on the jazz album, but in English. And she said, you know, since I'm in Montreal, I was thinking maybe that somebody's guesting on the show, they would sing La Vie en Rose in French. And I said, well, I've never sung La Vie en Rose, but if Cyndi Lauper is asking me to sing La Vie en Rose,
we'll fucking figure it out.
I'm going to make it happen.
Yeah, for sure.
So, you know, we go to the sound check, and all we did, the whole sound check was spent figuring out La Vie en Rose. And then she played her show, and then all the musicians walked off stage. My musicians came on and got set up, and then she went into La Vie en Rose with the pianist in English. And then about halfway through the song, it was a click, 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 and then we started playing La Vie en Rose, but in a rock version. Yeah. And then I walked onto the stage, and suddenly I was singing with Cyndi Lauper.
That's amazing. Awesome. Did you like time travel, high five yourself? Like, I can only imagine, like, when you were younger, I mean, I don't want to presume, but like, Cyndi Lauper is still a pretty big fucking deal. Were you like, was part of something, you were like, yeah! Like, fucking whatever age, 13, 14 year old you was like, high fiving you through time and being like,
of course,
I fucking did it.
You know,
like,
you met this woman and you sang with her.
Yeah.
And she was just as cool as you would imagine that she was.
She seems pretty cool.
She is. Yeah. She's super cool. Yeah, she was very, very graceful. I'd never sung a duet before. So I didn't know, you know, do you sing to your co-duet person or do you sing to the audience? And she made it really simple. She just sort of walked to the side.
Hey, that's super cool. That is awesome.
Yeah.
That's like, and you're like, and it's one of those things where you're like, everything could, I don't want to like knock on wood there, but.
If I could die right now.
Well, no, but you're everything could go to shit and you could be like, fuck off. Yeah. I sang with Cyndi Lauper.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. The last of our questions is kind of lame, but I just thought it'd be fun. What's your favorite drink?
My favorite drink. Oh man,
could be
it's
as
so
complex
boring.
Or simple as you want.
It's water.
Yeah, you know, ginger ale.
Ginger ale.
Yeah, it's. I don't drink alcohol.
Well, that's it. I was like, you are the swimming in.
No.
When you're running marathons, like fucking, what did you say? 10.
Ran
10 marathons. That's 420 kilometers.
Yeah, but some runners drank. I just never got into it, really.
Sorry. I don't just do that, man.
42 kilometers is a marathon.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. I just learned that.
He said it earlier, too.
Really?
Yeah.
Was it when I was getting drinks?
No, I don't think so.
Okay. Let's say it was when I was getting
Sure,
drinks.
You're not high.
Really not.
Okay,
Ginger ale. Did you like Orange Crush? Not even.
No. Did you like the raspberry ginger ale when it was around?
Yeah.
It's so good.
Yeah, that fruit stuff. Yeah, I like it.
Walter, you muted yourself.
Oh my god, really? How long?
I don't know. No. I have a little bit of a sound clip on you from like a minute ago.
It's okay, I didn't say anything worth saying anyway.
No, it's all right. You.
I just made it seem like I was ignoring the guest.
Exactly. On the actual cut, we're like, Walter, silence.
Like, Walter's sulking. Am I off? Am I back on?
I never sang.
How did
Cyndi
I wasn't even playing with this thing. Well, am I back on?
Yeah, you're back.
All right, good.
Okay, the fourth question, as submitted by our previous guest, Mary Morrison and Anita, who were artists, was which pop culture icon influenced you most as a child? Like, which, when you were a kid, define kid as you want, which, like, pop culture icon were you, like, the most into? So I don't know if this was, like, necessarily pre-Michael Aller, James St. James, or I don't
know. You mean as a child?
As, like, a kid, exactly. So
like a nine-year-old. Yeah.
Like, which...
Gosh, would it be lame to say Boy George?
I thought that
no, it'd be awesome to say Boy George.
Like, I would say it'd be awesome because I mean, we're
just, it seems predictable.
But fair enough. But at the same time, but if you're like, if you were 9 years old and like Boy George didn't even exist to me at 9 years old, like I was just didn't like if you were like, I know we
nor
were,
should he have based on your age.
Why?
Because
like, that was 89. No. That was at 6. 92. So yeah, he shouldn't have.
No.
Like, fair enough. I was like 86, and I was like, no, I was 3 years old in 86. That doesn't make
any
sense.
Wait, what are you, 29?
Yeah, I turned 29 in like next Saturday.
So yeah, your math is still wrong.
No, in 86 I was 3. In 89 I was 6. Math? Much? How much is 42 times 10, Walter?
No idea.
Yeah, Boy George. But the fact that Boy George was like, Boy George was also one of those fucking things that I always thought was weird, but how much like white bread fucking like regular suburban culture was like, yeah, Boy George. And
well, just because like, the songs are so accessible.
Yeah, exactly. And you're sort of like my parents are like fundamentally religious suburban white people, and they'll sing like Boy George songs, and you're like,
yeah.
Really?
Have we had this conversation?
Yeah, the songs.
I think we have. Yeah, the songs are good.
And it's, I maybe 5 years ago, listened to Do You Really Want to Hurt Me? Completely by, you know, I don't know why I put that song on, but I thought, you know, wow, what a fantastic song that was.
Oh,
like,
good.
No wonder that they
everybody got into it.
Sent it to the radio. Did you know they sent it to the radio stations in a white label sleeve?
Okay.
Not showing what Boy George looked like, so that people wouldn't make a preconceived idea of what this would sound like, and
like
they would
agent,
just actually listen
was
to
like,
it.
Buddy, we're not going to put your picture in this one. We're going
to
just.
And was it attributed to Boy George? No, it was attributed to Culture Club.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Culture Club.
So, you know, it's fully conceivable that, you know.
Which was, I mean, it must have been, I don't know, like 1982 or something.
Yeah, it was pretty fucking
so,
right.
And, yeah, it's a. Goes to show you how great the song is.
He's done well for himself.
He has. Well, he's had some ups and downs.
Yeah,
like yeah. I was gonna be like, yeah. Done well for himself.
He's still out there.
He's not dead.
He's not dead.
And the last question is: what question would you ask to our next guest, not knowing who that guest is?
Because we don't.
We have an idea. We have a few
week to week.
There's a few kicking around.
Want to know who is your favorite movie character and why?
Character,
right? Not actor, character.
Not actor, like character.
Good.
Han Solo.
You're not supposed to answer.
Fuck. Shit! I fucked it up. So that's the hour.
That's the hour.
Patrick, that was awesome. That was really really
thank you
really
for
cool.
My pleasure.
That's really good.
I'm sure that your schedule is busier than what would allow you to come here for an hour on a beautiful Wednesday afternoon. So thank you for making time.
My schedule is up and down. That's kind of what I like about
thank
it.
Thank you for making time in your undoubtedly
make it seem real busy
schedule.
Make it seem like you fucking have to move some things around.
Don't play it down.
You
man.
Canceled
thank
like
God.
Five things to make it here. That's what happened. Let's go plug yourself. I think is this 12, 13?
This is like 38.
13. I think this is 13. I think this is 13. I'm Keith.
I remain Walter.
And our lovely guest,
Plastic Patrick.
There we go.
Thank you so much.
Music will be playing by now.
Ba bang bang boom. Ba-da-da-da.
Is it really 13?
What? 13? Lucky 13. Yeah. Perfect. Hey, you're fucking seeing a dog and an animal. Is he gonna little motherfucker? I can saw it. Hey, you're fucking. Is he here? What? You're dead, I'm fucking with a legend, sick of food. I ain't give up. I ain't carrying a fucking DMI.
9to5.cc. We're not working. Why should you? Thanks for listening.